Today, I am the name of my message is Teach Your Children Well. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command to you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. For you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Lord, this is an attack on you, God. It's been from the beginning when Lucifer had his downfall. Well, not from the beginning, but since that time, Lord, we saw this, you know, serpent. One of the facts that I've heard a couple preachers speak on, we can look at Eve. Maybe Adam didn't step up and prevent that. Lord, masculinity is under attack in our country. Fact of the matter is, Lord, you're under attack. Your word tells us, you made the man and woman. Not my choice, yours. But Lord, we live in a society that is volatile. Let us not be that way. Let us live the love of Jesus. Let us understand when your word says a gentle answer turns away wrath. But Father, today it is time for men to stand up, to take the lead that you have called them to. Your word says that, I believe it's in Romans, Jews and Greek men and women are all the same. There's not one hierarchy of one more valuable in your eyes and the other, Lord, but it's just a different role. Lord, I know as a father and as a husband, when I die, I will be held accountable for my family. Let us know that, Lord. Let us teach our children the beautiful ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. I take many opportunities when I can to use Neil Young as an example. There's a Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young song, Teach Your Children. Where do you think I got the title from? And I know it's not the first time I've used that title, but I'm up here and I can use that. One line says, you who are on the road must have a code that you can live by. Now, this is Father's Day, and I want to talk to all of us, not just fathers. You might say, well, you know what? I'm not a dad. No, it's okay. I want to talk to you. What Deuteronomy talks about is we have to know the Bible. We have to value the Bible. We have to tell other people about the Bible. You know, I want to thank those of you who came and helped us reset the room because we had the school's awards tonight, Friday night. And I was talking to one of the guys, and they're just saying how, you know, what they do is they just take the opportunity to tell other people what God has done in their life. And maybe you're back there saying, well, I don't know the Bible that good. That's great. You don't need to. How about the dude in the cemetery that had all, you know, breaking chains and he's demonically possessed and Jesus freed him. He goes, hey, can I go with you? And he goes, yeah, no. Tell people what I did for you. God called him to be an evangelist like, you know, 45 minutes after he got saved. So if you know Jesus, you got a story. We live in a post-Christian nation. America is not a Christian nation. We see Judeo-Christian values constantly under attack. And you know what? We see compromise coming into the church. Well, the Bible was written by man. sexuality, all these different things. We need to persevere. We need to stay the course, and we need to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Emphasize Jesus Christ. First point, with confidence, stay the course. Ken Ham, who does Answers in Genesis, wrote, "The devil knows the family is the backbone of the culture, and he has used many different means to attack and destroy the family. In not so many subtle ways, Judeo-Christianity is under attack. Why do you think it is such a big thing to see drag queens go to kids' libraries and read? Because they want to make it acceptable at a young age that you can pick. I mean, somebody posted on Facebook and I saw it. This woman actually said, well, you know, we got to listen to children. And we got to accept what they say. So no, I'm sorry. If little Johnny, who's 5 years old, is going to tell me he wants to be a girl, sorry. Tomorrow he might want to be a chimpanzee. We don't let children make decisions like that. And we have to realize the devil is opening up our society, and he is taking control, and he is so attacking God. We see unbiblical lifestyles promoted by leaders in our community and in our country. But I want to encourage you today. Don't let this anger you in such a way that you get volatile, because we're talking about deception. We need to pray. We need to be determined. You know, Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God, church, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength." I got to be honest, I don't see it getting any easier to be a Christian in this country. The attack is real. That's why we talk a lot about you have to be in the Word. You have to be in fellowship. We need one another. I know there's times we have to stay at home and all that. I get that. But that's why we have home groups. That's why we're having at least 3 meetings in the summer. Because we need fellowship. We need to strengthen one another. We need to encourage one another. And we have to realize, you know what? Our children are under attack. Oh, I get it. The appeal of compromise is such a strong temptation for all of us. You know, I've shared before, one of the best pieces of advice my mom gave me when Melody was pregnant with my oldest daughter was, love your kids enough sometimes to let them hate you. I got a great relationship with my kids. It wasn't always the case when I had to say no. Guess what? I'm not just talking to parents. I'm talking to us as we have friends that we love going down the wrong path. And yes, you need to hit your knees and pray for them, but you need to use your words. We have to understand that we are called to be watchmen. And if you see somebody as a friend of yours going down the wrong path, you don't have to tell anybody else about it. God has opened your eyes to that, so that in love, you can correct them. Speaking the truth in love is getting underneath and supporting and teaching, not berating somebody. You know, last week I spoke about the importance of living a godly lifestyle. You know, I like how one of the lies that Satan has used is, we've really progressed. I mean, we are America 2023. We have our act together. Ecclesiastes 1:9, New Living Translation. History repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. No sexual relationship is new. It's been done before. The transgender thing, thousands of years ago, it has been done. I'm sorry, this isn't new. We don't have this enlightenment where now we know more than God. You know, at our leadership meeting, somebody was sharing, and I looked up this quote. This one guy actually says, this intelligent person, let's have AI, artificial intelligence, rewrite the scriptures so it will be right. Hey, you read the Bible about end times, you know, one world government. Now, don't get freaky, you end time people. Stop. Because if you're an end time person, tell me how many doors you knocked on. Do you think Jesus is coming back soon? Then it's not just for you to sit home and say he's coming back soon. It's for us to take as many people with us as we can. There's nothing new under the sun. See, God makes no mistakes. We need to cling to him. I like what Charles Spurgeon says. Train your children in the way in which you should have gone yourself. You know what I learned about my kids at a young age? They're smart. They know when I say go this way and I slip up and go that way. They notice it. Dad, you said we got to read the Bible first thing. I saw you reading the Post Standard where Georgetown lost to Syracuse. Children should be seen and not heard. But you know what else I like about Charles Burden said? If you're the parent of a prodigal, don't lose hope. It's not over until they breathe their last. So breathe life into them. Pray, pray, pray. With confidence, you need to stay the course. Christianity is under attack big time in our country. There is a state just north of Pennsylvania. And there are some gun issues going on. That would be us, by the way. And the governor says, I don't want to hear that you need to pray more. Now, I'm not going to get into gun control or that issue. But excuse me, it is a sin issue. We have turned our back on God as a nation. And when you turn your back on God, he backs away. We have to be careful. We have to press in. We have to make it important to disciple our children. We have to make it important to disciple our friends. We need to leave a lasting impression. Romans 6:2, that you may fear the Lord your God and your son's son by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, that your days may be long. Kids learn from adults. What are they learning about God from me? What are they learning about God from you? Are they learning that when we come to church, we are super Christian? But when we leave those doors, there's a transformation and we go back to something a little bit less. Parents need to teach their children how to live selflessly, not selfishly. I like basketball. I like watching the NBA. I was so glad if my Knicks couldn't win that the Nuggets did. But I was so disappointed when they had their victory parade to see a bunch of drunk people and hearing their coach swear like a truck driver. I said, I'm sorry, that is not a good representation of what professional basketball players should be like. You see, the devil's deception is so evident in our country today. The very core of our identity, who God made me to be, is under attack. If I disagree, then I'm a something phobe, I'm a hater, I'm a closed-minded bigot. But you know what? We need to be consistent. We need to be consistent in who we are. We need to not try to model our lifestyle in such a way that they accept us. I remember years ago when I was a teen pastor, one thing I've never been is cool, and you really worry about that. But you know what I learned? If I talked one-on-one and they knew I cared, I had a relationship with them. I got dear friends of mine who are as far to the left of me as can be, but they don't threaten me. It's not contagious. It's not like COVID. It's not like the measles. It's not like if I talk to them, all of a sudden I'm going to be a leftist. No. I want to get involved in people like that's lives so that I can tell them about my Jesus in a way that doesn't threaten me. I mean, you know, this sometimes people say stuff to me and they're telling me the ideology. And on the inside, I'm just really saying, you're the biggest moron I've ever met. But I listen with a smile on my face. And I'm thinking, if you really knew how little I care about what you're saying, you would probably be mad at me. But then I talk nice to them. I just want to encourage us today. I know it's hard to be a Christian. God's word is real. We got to know it. We got to cling to it. You know, I said earlier, kids learn from us. You know, I was having my daughter and my grandson, they took me to lunch at Shorty's Diner in Watertown, which is a real cool place. And they stuck us way in the corner because we had this little kid with a high chair with another little kid at a table. Man, that kid's food was everywhere except in his mouth. But anyways, my daughter goes to get some change, and sometimes my grandson, he's just a kid. He just goes, "Rah!" So I did likewise. Not as loud. So my daughter comes back, and he does it again. She goes, "No, we don't do that." I said, "Whoa. Sorry, because Grandpa just did that with him." I got a brother, and I've shared this before, but when you get old, you repeat yourself, so deal with me. So, you know, and he's prim and proper, and his son was like a year old and been eating peanut butter, and his hands are like gross. So my brother's trying to clean him off, and I went behind my brother, and I looked at Andrew, and I go, "Oh yeah, you know the rest of that story." Freaking my brother, I told him about 30 years later. It was awesome. You know what my dad taught me? Don't look down on people. When I started teaching, he said, you make friends with the people that work in the cafeteria. You make friends with the janitor. You know, my dad was a brilliant man, but he taught at, you know, at Morrisfield College, when it was like basically a farm school, ag school, and he taught people where they're at. He taught freshman English, and he, you know, I taught language arts for a year. And if any of these kids graduated and did well in life, then God is a miraculous God, because I wasn't qualified to do that. But anyways, I asked him so many stupid questions. He never once rolled his eyes or demeaned me. See, we got to be like that. We got to lift people up, and we have to love them. And you have to realize how you live your life leaves an impression. How you deal with pain in your life. I'm not saying you don't go through it, but you don't let it diminish your faith in Jesus Christ. And you tell people, somehow I'm going to get through this because I serve the living God who lives inside of me, and greater is he who is in me than he is in the world. That's why I get frustrated with the world, but it doesn't overwhelm me because I got me some Jesus. I got saved. Hello. You got saved. You don't think that's a miracle? I remember my dad ran into Walter. I won't say his last name. We worked at Morrisville Cemetery for years. So my dad hadn't seen old Walt for years. "Hey, how's Dick doing?" "Oh, he's a pastor now." I said, "What?" "Yep, he's a pastor." God can do anything. God can do anything. We're talking today about foundations. I build foundations. That's who I am. Matthew talks about it. You build your house on the sand, which is not God, which isn't Christ. When the storms hit, it falls. You build it on the rock. When that storm comes, you're going to stand strong. I never built my relationship with my kids on me, because that's sand. I don't build it on my opinions. I built it on God's word. What foundation do you have with your friends? Mine's on God's word. I lost, when I got saved, a lot of friends in Morrisville. They're not my friends anymore. One guy, we started talking on Facebook last year, and hey, yeah, let's get together. Sure, throw time at me. And after that happened about three times, I said, that's in your ballpark. I'm not chasing you unless God tells me to. Then I got friends that, they say this, that, and everything. And, I had friends that after I got saved, I'd be at a wedding or a party, and they would, A, bring out some really horrendous things I did before I got saved, or then they would make them up. And I remember it used to really bother me, and I'd get so embarrassed. And you know me, I'm not an intellectual. I'm not a smooth talker. So I'm stumbling. And finally, God, because he knows I need all the help I can get. So I said, hey, Jesus saved me. Can I tell you how he can do that for you? And can I say they never bothered me again? I got to be about Jesus. I want my kids to know. I want my family to know. I want my friends to know. At the very least, my foundation is going to be about Jesus Christ. Like I said earlier, drag queens at libraries, it ain't cute. That's not acceptable. That's straight from the pits of hell. But if you don't like it, you are a hater and a meanie head. Tell you our slogan for New Covenant Community Church. Live the love of Jesus. That's who we are. How did Jesus treat sinners? He didn't yell at them. I don't even think he went on Facebook and ridiculed them. Who did he go after? The religious people, leaders that were taking people on the road to hell. How about the woman that had five husbands shacking up with the guy? He didn't talk about her immorality. He gave her life. Can we do that? Oh, he sought her out. We are not called to live in a cocoon. You know what my vision is for home groups? You have like four people in each home group from New Covenant Community Church. Then we start inviting unsaved friends. Have fellowship together. Maybe we have refreshments and a meal and we break open the Bible. That's what I want to see. I think it's great that we have home groups with a bunch of Christians. I do. I think that's great. But I want to go back to the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. That's who I want us to live, the love of Jesus. I want people to see that I have seen this happen. When an unsaved people see a church that really cares for them in their community, they let their guard down. They see that you're not a self-righteous, pie-in-the-sky freak, but they see and they will let you into their life. It breaks my heart to see sin championed, even at the White House. But can I say this? We have a president who's deceived. He's not our enemy. The devil's our enemy. I pray for that man. Think what would happen if that man comes to Jesus Christ with all his heart and all his soul. I pray for these people that are see. I don't get mad at them. Why? I was on the road to hell before God intervened in my life because I know Anna Smith, my grandmother, was one of the people praying for me. Come on. God can save me. He can save anybody. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I'm 64 years old. I want to go to the government and say, I identify as a 70-year-old, so I'm getting all my Social Security and I can make as much money as I want because this is what your birth certificate says. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You don't understand. That's not how I identify. How would that go over? Then why do we allow stupid in other places? Teach your children That's why I value the Oswego Community Christian School and why we've been doing this for 44 years. Because we want to give kids a great education in the foundation of Jesus Christ. Because guess what? They're not going to get it at Oswego High, at Oswego Middle School. I love it. Don't get me wrong. And I want to say one thing about our education system. They're teaching the kids. They love these kids. It's not like they're trying to take them down a wrong road. They're not. They're just deceived. So we have to have that mentality that, you know, it's okay. Yes, I know we have a lot of believers in the educational system, but I said more and more, if you look at education in our country as a whole, it's not Judeo-Christianity that's behind it. So someone's going to lay a foundation for your children. You have to train them up in the way they should go. And hopefully when they get old, they won't depart from it. Some of us, some of you, man, us, we know prodigals and it breaks our heart. But man, I train my kids in the way they should go. And I pray for them and I don't let old Slufa make me depressed about it. Because I'm praying for my kids and I know God hears my prayer. So we need to make the time. We need to make the effort. Please know God's word. Men, if you have a family, don't say, wife, take the kids to bed and read to them. Make it a family thing. I do realize a lot of church in America is not attractive to men. Let's make it attractive to men. Let's make it so that men want to be here. Let's pray. You got to know God's word. We overcome by God's grace. The summary is know Jesus, live Jesus, teach Jesus, live the love of Jesus. Father, you're the perfect Father. Unfortunately, on earth, sometimes people have fathers which aren't correct up to what they should be. Lord, I remember our friend who, at the age of 7, was abused by her stepfather. Her mother got mad at her. So as Melody and I are ministering to this 54-year-old woman who's dying of cancer, who has tears, saying, how could God love me when my mom couldn't? Thank you, Lord. She passed away as a born-again Christian. And she experienced the love of the perfect Father. Lord, I know there's a lot of people that they've had bad family backgrounds. But when we place our faith in you, Lord, you will never let us down. You tell us you will never leave us or forsake us. Lord, let us not look at the past hurts, but let us look at the future glory that we have with you. You love us so much. Your word tells us that you gave your only begotten Son, that you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, because your word says the wages of sin is death. You had Jesus nailed to a cross after he was tortured. You turned your back on your own Son. And then after the resurrection, we all have the opportunity, Lord, to say, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. For your word says everybody sins and falls short of your glory. So if we say, Lord, forgive me, I'm going to repent, which means I'm not living that way anymore. I'm going to turn, I'm going to live your way according to your scriptures. And say, Jesus has come into my life. When I did that, Lord, you looked down and you saw a new creation. The old was gone. The old Dick Beaumont that Walt remembered was gone. I had a new identity in you. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us today. And I pray that if there's anybody here that has not made that commitment to you, that right now they would say, Lord, forgive me and want you in my life. But I pray for the men, Lord God. Toxic masculinity. Lord, we're not going to sit around, break beer cans on our heads, and burp while we smoke our cigars. We're going to be men that stand on your truth because that's what the city needs. That's what our families need. This is what our country needs, Lord God. That's what this church needs. But I pray, Lord, that we would teach our children well, that we won't forsake telling them about the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would encourage the men and women in this room, that we wouldn't fall victim to the lies of the enemy, to what's being propagated out in the media, etc., etc. That we would stand on your foundation, on your word, Lord God, for we won't crumble when we stand on that. I pray, Lord, that you would show us how to live the love of Jesus in an ungodly world, that we won't be threatened, that we won't be afraid. I pray for release of your spirit in greater measure, Lord, that we would not have the fear of man, but that we would go and proclaim your gospel to the people you put in our life. Father, happy Father's Day to you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Happy Father's Day. Blessings.